This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumusime. The Catholic Church celebrated Palm Sunday this Sunday, April 13th, in preparation for the Holy Week, in which the mystery of salvation culminates in the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. Here in the Vatican, Cardinal Leonardo Sandri, the Vice Dean of the College of Cardinals, was delegated by Pope Francis to preside over Palm Sunday Holy Mass in St. Peter's Square. The homily was prepared by the Pope himself, who also came to the square towards the end of the liturgy. In his homily, Pope Francis reflected on Sunday's gospel taken from Luke chapter 19, verse 28-40, in which Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem as the Messiah. The Pope said Christ entered through the gate of the holy city and was welcomed as the promised Savior. But a few days later, he would leave Jerusalem through the same gate, carrying the cross on his shoulders after being condemned to death. Referring to Luke chapter 22, verse 14, up to chapter 23, verse 56, in which the Apostle Luke narrates the arrest, crucifixion, and death of Christ on the cross, the Holy Father drew attention to Simon of Cyrene, who was forced by the Roman soldiers to help carry the cross of Jesus. The Pope said Simon unexpectedly found himself caught up in a drama that overwhelmed him. He got involved in the Lord's Passion, not out of conviction, but out of coercion. What is strange, however, is that Simon of Cyrene did not speak, and there is no recorded dialogue between him and Jesus. Between the two, there is only the cross. The Holy Father invited the faithful to imagine themselves in the place of Simon of Cyrene, reminding everybody that the cross that Simon bore was the cross of Christ, who himself bore the sins of all humanity. He carried our sins for love of us in obedience to the Father. In this unexpected and astonishing way, Simon of Cyrene becomes part of the history of salvation in which all of us are part. The Pope invited all the baptized to follow in the footsteps of Simon because he teaches us that Jesus comes to meet everyone in every situation. He said there are many Simons of Cyrene every day who bear the cross of Christ on their shoulders. Faced with the appalling injustice of evil, the faithful who carry the cross of Christ do not do so in vain, but because this is the most real way for us to share in his redeeming love. Pope Francis concluded his homily stressing that the passion of Christ becomes compassion whenever we hold out our hand to those who feel they cannot go on, when we lift up those who have fallen, and when we embrace those who are discouraged. In order to experience this great miracle of mercy, he said, let us decide how we are going to carry our own cross during this Holy Week, either on our shoulders or in our hearts. It is traditional here in the Vatican that after the Palm Sunday Mass, the Pope leads the faithful in the Nunc Angelus prayer. Pope Francis did not delegate anyone to do this, but he wrote the Angelus Reflection, which was distributed by the Holy See Press Office at 12 hours Italian time. In the reflection, the Holy Father returned to the Passion of Christ, reminding everyone how the Lord, defenseless, humiliated, and in great pain, put himself in the hands of God until he breathed his last. He said we all have sorrows which could be physical or moral, but faith helps us not to give in to despair and bitterness, but to face them like Jesus by the providential and merciful embrace of God. Referring to his sickness, the Pope thanked the faithful and people of goodwill all over the world who pray for him. He said at this time of physical weakness, those prayers help him to feel God's closeness, compassion, and tenderness even more. I too am praying for you, and I ask you to entrust all those who suffer to the Lord together with me, especially those affected by war, poverty, or natural disasters, he said. He in particular prayed that the Almighty may receive in his peace the more than 200 people who died last Tuesday in Santo Domingo, the capital of the Dominican Republic, when the roof of a popular nightclub known as Jet Set collapsed during a night concert. He prayed also that God may comfort their families. He in a special way recalled the ongoing war in Sudan, which on 15th of this month will be the second year since it started. The war has killed tens of thousands of people and injured many more, in addition to displacing millions. The suffering of children, women, and vulnerable people in Sudan, the Pope said, cries out to heaven and begs us to act. The Pope renewed his appeal to the parties involved in the war to cease hostilities and resolve their disagreements through dialogue. He also appealed to the international community to help the displaced people. Pope Francis remembered also Lebanon, where the civil war that began 50 years ago continues to kill people, and prayed that the Lebanese may live in peace and prosperity. He also prayed for Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Myanmar, and South Sudan, where many continue to die in useless wars. The Dicastery for the Clergy promulgated on Sunday a decree containing revised norms on the discipline of mass intentions and collective offerings. The updated legislation enters into effect on Easter Sunday, April 20th, and seeks to safeguard both the spiritual integrity of the Eucharistic sacrifice and the faithful's trust in the Church's handling of their offerings. The norms build upon the existing canon law and the decree on mass stipends issued in 1991. The revised norms state that in case of multiple offerings in a single mass, the donors must be explicitly informed and must freely consent. The decree further restricts the frequency of such collective celebrations, aiming to preserve the normative link between each offering and a distinct Eucharistic celebration. The norms also prohibit any substitution of promised masses with simple mentioning during liturgies, categorizing such practices as gravely unlawful. Emphasizing justice to the faithful and the avoidance of simony, the Dicastery for the Clergy calls for vigilance from bishops who are instructed to teach the faithful, monitor implementation, and ensure accurate record-keeping of intentions and offerings. Priests are encouraged to celebrate masses for the poor who cannot give offerings, and diocesan bishops may redirect surplus intentions to mission territories or parishes in need. The 6th National Pilgrimage of Catholic Journalists and Communicators in Ivory Coast concluded a few days ago at St. Joseph Memuni Sanctuary in Abidjan. It was attended by communicators from different Catholic dioceses across the country. In his address, the communications director for the Catholic Diocese of Yupugon, Father Augustine Alu, reminded Catholic communicators that they are guardians of the world and sowers of the truth and hope. He appealed to them to reflect on every information before they release it to the public, and what should guide that reflection is whether the information builds or destroys, uplifts or diminishes the consumer. Father Alu emphasized that a Catholic communicator is expected to bear witness to hope, unity, and reconciliation, and not to be a messenger of despair, doom, and lies. The Catholic Diocese of Zomba in Malawi celebrated the Jubilee Year for People with Disabilities a few days ago at Mpalankanga Secondary School for the Deaf. The event was led by the Bishop of the Diocese, the Right Reverend Alfred Chama. Speaking to the participants, Bishop Chama emphasized the importance of education and encouraged students with disabilities to work hard in their studies in order to achieve independence. Always remember, the doors of higher education are open to everyone. You must find your way into the university, he told them. Bishop Chama appealed to various stakeholders, including the government of Malawi, to invest more resources in the education of people with disabilities and to provide adequate support that will enable them to prepare for a better future. He highlighted in particular the lack of basic necessities in institutions such as water, fencing, dining halls, and learning materials, underlining that they are needed for successful learning. Mpalankanga Secondary School was founded by the Catholic Church in Malawi and is currently administered by the Sisters of Servants of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It has a total of 80 students with disabilities. The Electoral Commission in Tanzania said on Saturday that it had banned the opposition Chadema party from participating in any elections in the country until 2030 because the party leaders had refused to sign a document of the code of conduct. The document contains what candidates are permitted and forbidden to do during campaigns. The decision of the Electoral Commission followed the announcement by Chadema leaders that they would not sign a code of conduct without voting reforms. Chadema has been calling for electoral reforms for some time now, and last week its leader and presidential candidate Tundu Lissu was arrested and charged with treason after a rally in southern Tanzania at which he called for electoral reforms. Citing the slogan, "No reform, no election," he had informed his supporters that there was no possibility of free and fair elections without changes to how the polls are run in Tanzania. Parliamentary and presidential elections are scheduled for 28th October this year. With the disqualification of Chadema, the ruling Chama cha Mapinduzi party is expected to win both elections with a landslide. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family. The International Catholic Charismatic Renewal Encounter for Prayer Groups took place recently here in Rome. One of the prominent groups that attended the meeting in great numbers was from Zimbabwe. The Bulawayo delegation of Zimbabwe was led by Oblate of Mary Immaculate Priest, Father Temba Chipembere. He's our guest on Family.
Thank you so much. My name is Father Temba Chipembere, an oblate, missionary oblate of Mary Immaculate, working in the mission of Zimbabwe, and working at the pre-novitiate as a director of pre-novices in Zimbabwe. I've been working there for this is my fifth year. I'm working in the Archdiocese of Bulawayo, Wantutuziathunga, and also appointed as a spiritual director of CARIS, Catholic Charismatic Renewal International Service, journeying with Catholic Charismatic members.
And please tell us, what brings you to Rome?
I came here for training of the prophetic intercessors and also for development of prayer group meetings. So to know more about how to use our charisms, our gifts that we've been given to us by God. As a prophetic intercessor, we are called, all called to be there to support each other in this journey of faith, to pray for each other. That is, intercessors, we are warriors in praying. The prayer group meetings is more for how we do the prayer meetings as a group. There are different charisms that we have, the different gifts that God has given us. If we read in the scriptures, we hear that there were many gifts, or we read especially in Matthew chapter 25, where Christ gives us the parable of the talents, that we have been given these talents to use. So we are called as Christians to use these charisms, these gifts that God has given us, to use them wisely, to use them to help the church to grow, to help the Christians to grow, to help the community to grow. So with the prayer group meetings, we have people who are good singers, who are good in praising and worshiping God. And also we have people who have a gift of praying in tongues, and also we have also gifts of prophecy and gifts of healing. So there are different gifts of miracles and gifts of faith. So these are gifts that we are given by the Holy Spirit.
I'm sure, Father Temba, I'm sure even in the Diocese of Bulawayo, you have found some priests who hesitate when they hear about charismatic. They may be a bit uncomfortable with the way charismatic pray. What do you say to them to encourage those priests that the charismatic movement has a legitimate place in the life of a parish?
Yes, first and foremost, the charismatic is Catholic. There is always that underline. First, it's Catholic charismatic. So even in our trainings, there were bishops, there were archbishops, there were priests in the training. So it's a Catholic movement, which is not anti-Catholic. Yes, we have different personalities in the way we pray. There are some people who are drawn maybe to the devotion of the rosary. Some are, they pray better maybe with the quietly in adoration. Some they pray better maybe when they pray novenas. So we don't limit God. We need to pray with the whole body, the whole mind, and we pray with our heart. So the charismatic, it expresses those gifts. It allows those gifts to be manifested in the church. So it's a really Catholic in its nature. People have different views, of which we respect that. But I think as we learn more, we inquire more about charismatic, we realize that it's really deep-rooted in the Catholic teachings.
How can a charismatic group in a parish impact the whole parish in such a way that it's not seen as a little group that is on the margins of the parish, but is actually part and parcel of the whole parish?
Yes, as charismatic, it's one of the movements that I've realized that it covers, it calls for everyone, men, women, young men, young women, and children. It's not only maybe like other groups or associations where you find maybe it's only centered maybe on one gender, but for charismatic, it's for everyone, men, women, young men, young women, and also covers a lot of aspects in our prayer, because with the charismatic, what we do normally with the prayer groups is you find there's praise and worship, which for those who like doing prayer, singing, they have their own slot. Those who do intercession, they have their own slot. Those who do ministry of healing, maybe hospitality also, they have their own role to play. So it covers everyone. I would really encourage, especially parishes maybe who are struggling or who don't have this charis to really introduce that in their parish. It's good for evangelization.
Father, speak to us about the healing ministry of charismatic in a parish.
So we believe that the one who heals is God. When we do pray, we intercede for those who are not well to be healed. And the one who heals is God, using the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent and of healing. So we always invoke the Holy Spirit to be the one who heals. The healing ministry is one of also those charisms that we always emphasize on in our prayer group meetings as charis. People are healed emotionally and physically and spiritually. There's that healing that goes through. So it's a holistic healing. It's the whole human being is healed in this aspect of the charis. So it's one of those gifts of that we have in the church.
When is deliverance, the prayer of deliverance, best used?
Yeah, if we look at our catechism of the Catholic Church, we have the sacraments. The sacraments themselves, they really suffice for healing. We have, in fact, sacrament of Eucharist, where after the Our Father, there's that deliverance prayer that we always say. When they pray after the Our Father, the priest will pray for deliverance. So it's a deliverance on its own during the Eucharistic celebration. And also in the sacrament of healing, the anointing, there's that deliverance also, that prayer that we pray for deliverance and the healing when we anoint the priest, when you're anointing the sick. And also on the sacrament of confession and the reconciliation, there's that prayer also of deliverance and healing. So these are the sacraments of healing that we as CCR or charismatic, we really promote or advise and encourage people to go for mass, to go for confessions, and also to ask for a priest if someone is sick in the family, to ask for a priest to receive the sacrament of anointing.
When should exorcism be rightly used? What is the process?
Yes, there is a minor exorcism and the other exorcism, which is really reserved for an exorcist who has gone through the training. There's some exorcism which is done by every priest who is ordained, and there's faculties they can do exorcism. So they differ with the degree of the person, the manifestation. So a lay person can pray for exorcism. As they can do that exorcism as a lay, but it's a certain degree also, or where the priest, an ordained priest, can do exorcism. And there are some activities or exorcism which are only reserved for the ordinary, the bishop. But it's good as a priest, maybe you see that, okay, there's a manifestation, someone is doing something, to take that person and find out, journey with the person to inform the bishop about the manifestation of maybe there's a demoniac attack or so.
Father Temba, finally, when you look at the Archdiocese of Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, you are happy with the movement, the growth of the charismatic renewal in the Archdiocese?
I'm really happy because when we came here to Rome for this pilgrimage of hope, we came in numbers, in big numbers, about 16 of us. I think in the whole of Africa, we had the largest group. Yes, we had the largest group of people who came. This information that we received, it will not only help us, but it will help the Archdiocese or the whole country, the whole nation of Zimbabwe to grow in our faith and especially in hope, as we are now pilgrims of hope.
I would like to thank you for giving us your time and wish you well when you return to Zimbabwe and in your ministry as well as your ministry of formation with the Oblates of Mary Immaculate.
Thank you so much, Father Paul Samasumo. Thank you. God bless you.
Zimbabwe's Father Temba Chipembere on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at this same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul.